true, praying for our youth. Heaven bent, supporting one another, a living faith is what this life promotes. Committed to press on, reaching light, forgiving one another, while staying on our knees, for it's God we aim to please. We are declared victory.
Thank you for joining us in April, as the new themes will be both on grace and mercy of the Lord. You don't want to miss the teachings, the lessons, and the message that the declarers are preparing as they hear from the Lord for his people. In the announcements today, I'd like to ask if you could just take this time to look at your phone to make sure your standard mute button is pushed. That'd be great. Appreciate it. There are no announcements for today, nor are there any prayer requests submitted on the app. The order of the call today, as the declaration, will be done by Pastor Bessie Argyle. Praying and leading us in corporate praise will be done by Sister Kendra. After that, we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer. Again, the order of the call is, the declarer will be done by Pastor Bessie Argyle. Praying and leading us in corporate praise will be done by Sister Kendra. Then we'll go right into closing comments hosted by the declarer. At this time, I just ask that you take a look at your phones to make sure the standard mute button is on and leave it muted until instructed to come off. Thank you guys all for joining. Have a blessed Monday, and I now pass the call to declare for the day.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I pray having a blessed Monday. God is so good. I pray that you're resurrection service on yesterday was awesome, that it was amazing. We had an awesome time. God really, truly, truly blessed us at our church. And so I know the Lord blessed you all as well. I want to talk this morning. I love the topic for this month, which is grace and mercy. This is going to be, it's really amazing, but I love what God is doing, because when God begins to show you things, it turns on a new light for different things. And a lot of times when people are talking about grace and mercy, they get it mixed up a lot of times. And so we're asking for mercy when we should be asking for grace, and we're asking for grace when we should be asking for mercy. And so I want to go over a couple of those things on today and just give you some scripture and some background on that, where God can really, really show you and bless you with that. So I pray that this helps you on this. I'm going to give you a couple of things. So mercy, let's talk about mercy this morning. Mercy, God not punishing us for our sins. There are times in our lives where we need mercy from God, where we don't, or where we're asking God to bless us, and we're asking God to not punish us for our sins. So that's mercy. That's when we're asking God for his mercy and for him to literally overlook or pass over what we have done. And there are times where we're just like, God, we didn't mean to do that, or you didn't do it on purpose, or, you know, but there are times where you're asking God for that. Grace is one of the greatest ones. It is something that we all look at, that we're all asking God for. And grace is extending kindness to the unworthy. And that's where we all come in at as well, where we're asking God, please extend us your kindness. Please extend to us something that we are unworthy of, God. We're unworthy to have your love. We're unworthy to have your kindness. We're unworthy to have you speak to us, God. So extend grace to us, God, so that we understand what you are asking us for. And one of the favorite scriptures that come up where Paul's asking God to take the thorn out of his side. He's asking him to take the thorn out of his side. And he says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So in other words, my grace is sufficient to overlook and extend kindness to you, because you are unworthy, Paul. You're unworthy. Anybody knows Paul's story, which he was Saul first. Of course, you all know the story, but I'll go over it just a little bit. Was that Saul was the man that was killing all of the Christians. He was the one that stood
and watched Stephen be stoned to death. He was the one that stood and held the clothes where everybody was stoning Stephen to death, one of our first deacons. And as he stood there, he began to me, this is my spiritual imagination, he began to have an epiphany of what God was doing and how God was changing his life. There are times in your life where you have been, and I know everyone can attest to this, where you have been out there in the world, or you've been in sin, and you just were out there, and you're looking at certain things, and it stops you right in your tracks. Have you ever just had something just stop you right in your tracks, and you can't really say anything, you can't really move, you're just looking at a situation, or you're in a situation, and then all of a sudden you realize that my life is changing, but you don't know how it's changing or what's getting ready to happen. You don't know why it things just seem so different, but your life just seems so different. I believe in my spiritual imagination that Saul was having a change that was going on in his life at that moment, asking himself, why am I allowing this stoning to go on when I can just say one word and it can stop? And as Saul is standing there, he's seeing all of this is going on. And all of a sudden, his life changes. In the next couple of chapters, his life changes. And as his life begins to change, he begins to see a flash of light that comes from the sky. And the Lord begins to talk to him. And he says, why are you kicking against the brick? I mean, Paul has such a great, awesome, wonderful story. He has such a great, awesome, wonderful testimony. And as he goes, he now sits in a place where he is unknown. He can't see no one around him, and God literally confines him to a place. There are some times when your life is changing. I'm going somewhere, so just stay with me for a second. There are some times when your life will change, where God will literally confine you to a certain place where you don't know anybody. You're not getting any more visions. You're not seeing anything. I mean, it is just dry. It is just dry. And I have to say this because some people will tell you that some people will tell you that things are not happening for you. Some people will say those things. But listen, let me tell you something. When God begins to change your life, when God begins to change your life, he will put you in an exclusive place, excluded all by yourself, to where no one can get to you. No one can talk to you. There's nothing going on. There's no vision. There's no revelation. There's no download. There's no rhema. There's no manna. There's nothing that's going on, because God said, I'm getting ready to change your life. Do I have any souls out there? God is changing your life right now, where he knows that you're great. He knows that you have greatness in you. He knows that there are some things that are going on with you. And he says, I just need to change your life in this moment. So Saul is sitting there, and all of a sudden God prepares someone by the name of Ananias. Ananias. He prepares someone by the name of Ananias. And I love this story because Ananias was one of the ones who went to the school of prophets. He trained from the time he was younger up until this time. I mean, he literally just trained. There are some of you that God has trained you for an assignment, which is your only assignment. I'm going to just say that one more time, because I said I was going to write a book about those that have the one assignment. There are several people in the Bible that have one assignment. They've been raised, they've been bred, they've been trained, they have been taught, they have prayed up for one particular assignment, and that is it. And that one assignment that they're on is the most important assignment, because it changes the trajectory of people. It changes the whole world. It changes everything around them. It changes the Christian life for a whole lot of people. And so Ananias had trained all of his life for one assignment that he needed. You know how we sit around and we wait on that one preaching assignment, or that one teaching assignment, or that one time that God is going to use us in a miraculous way, that he's going to use us in such a special way. This was Ananias' assignment. After this, you don't hear anything of this particular Ananias ever again. There's a couple other people in the Bible by the name of Ananias, but this particular Ananias, you don't hear from him ever again, because he had one assignment, and that one assignment was to change, watch this, was to change the lives of those that were coming up behind you. Listen, I just got excited all about that just myself, if nobody else is excited, because Ananias, I'm going to jump forward, I'm going to come back. Ananias' assignment was to go and talk to Saul and begin to convert his life and tell him that God is extending not only his grace to you, but God is extending his mercy to you because of the sins that you have done. And he says, I will not kill you, Saul. This is what God is saying. I will not kill you, Saul. In other words, I'm going to change your life, and I'm going to transform your life and take you from where you are and change your whole life so that you might be able to change others. I just want to say this unto you today. that those of you that thought that your life would have never meant anything, those of you that thought that your life would have never been anything, listen, I just need you to go back and look at the life of Saul. He was one of the ones that nobody wanted to mess with. He was stringing up Christians, killing them, crucifying them, pulling them out of churches, pulling them out of their homes and everything else. And nobody wanted to talk to Saul. Nobody wanted to deal with him, but he chose Ananias as an assignment. If you don't know nothing else, some of you have an Ananias assignment, where your assignment is to pull out one of the worst ones ever. Come on, one of the worst sinners, one of the worst ones that are out there nowadays, and you have one assignment, and that one assignment is it. You might be in hibernation right now. You might be in hiding right now, but that one assignment, God is training you for that one assignment. So Ananias gets up, and he hears God calls him. He says, go down and go and see Saul. And Ananias is like, I ain't going down there. No, that's the man that kills everybody. That's the man that comes against every Christian. The Lord didn't even respond to Ananias. He didn't respond to any of his complaint. He literally gave him the street address. He gave him the zip code, the city. He told him, he said, you will find him here. There are times in your life where you will deny what God is saying, but he will give you everything that you need. He'll give you the street address. He'll give you the zip code, the city, and everything for you to go into. Because watch this. He said, I need to extend kindness to somebody who is unworthy. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God has extended kindness to me because I was unworthy. I'm so glad that his grace blessed me, but I'm even more so happy that his mercy, watch this, accepted me into the kingdom for kingdom assignments. We are unworthy sometimes. Ananias was unworthy. Saul was unworthy of this grace and this mercy, but God saw fit to bless both of them to allow them to have this grace and this mercy upon their lives. And I'm talking about them too for a reason. I'm going to get to it, but just follow me just for a second. And so here it is. Ananias goes down trembling. Have you ever just had one assignment and you're trembling? You don't even know how you're going to complete this assignment. You are scared out of your wit. You just like, God, I'm only doing this because I know that you are faithful and that you will keep me, God. I know that you'll cover me. I know that you'll protect me, but you are scared out of your wit. Listen. Anytime that you have an assignment from God, anytime God has called you to something and you feel like you have arrived and you feel like things are good and you feel like, oh, I'm getting ready to preach or I'm getting ready to teach, I'm getting ready to do it, and you are not nervous, listen, I want you to just check yourself real quick. Because every assignment, you are nervous because it's your job to pull a Saul out of where they are. Come on, somebody. It's your job to go and talk to that Saul. It's your job with the Ananias assignment to go and talk to that Saul. So whenever I arrive on the scene, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm teaching, whether I'm singing praise and worship, whether I'm doing call to worship, whatever it is, God said that that's your assignment. There is somebody waiting in the audience that's waiting on the call, that's in the auditorium, that's in the church, that's at the workplace, that is a Saul that watches, that God said, I have to extend my grace to him, and you have the mercy in your mouth. Oh my God. You have the mercy in your mouth that whatever you speak or whatever you say, that the things that God has given you to say, that you're getting ready to extend mercy to them so that they might receive grace also from God. Anytime you have an assignment, you ought to be nervous. You ought to be like, God, I'm just leaning and depending on you. And a nice assignment was leaning and depending on him, and that was it. So here he is. Leaning and depending on God, he goes down. And can I just interject this right here? Is that at this particular time, there wasn't anything where people would hold your hand and coach you and tell you, go ahead. When you got one assignment from God, you got that assignment. There was no one that you could particularly call and say, well, am I on it? No. There wasn't anything like that. It wasn't like the Holy Ghost was really prevalent like it is now, where people receive the Holy Ghost and they're going down and they're just like, yes, they're gung-ho about it. This is an assignment where Ananias is in school. He's literally in school. He's sitting down studying, and the Lord drops his assignment in his spirit that he has been waiting on for the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of his life, what he has studied. See, back in the day, what they did in those days is that they went to school from the time that they were young. They did. It wasn't like they started going to school when they were older, when they were in their teens or their 20s or their 30s. They have trained for this all their lives. And this is Ananias' one assignment, was that you have the mercy in your mouth to extend grace to someone who is unworthy. I'm going to just say that one more time. We have the mercy in our mouth to extend the grace to somebody else. That mercy is the word of God that you speak over somebody else's life, the prayers that you speak over somebody else's life, the things that you say that comes out of your mouth. This is why you have got to be careful how you talk to people, how you speak to people, how you address people, how you respect people. You have got to be careful what you speak out of your mouth, because it is the mercy that God has put on the inside of your mouth that's getting ready to release somebody else from their sin. Pastor Bessie, I don't understand what you're saying. God said that you are his arms, his legs, his mouthpiece. He said that you are everything. Jesus has already died for our sins. He has gone back to prepare a place for us. So therefore, he lives on the inside of us. So therefore, I'm going over here for a second. I'm coming back. So therefore, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have the resurrection living on the inside of us. So we wrestle with our flesh. Come on, we wrestle with our flesh. Again, Paul said, who will save me from this flesh, oh wretched man that I am. He said, he also said, when I want to do good, evil is also always present. When I want to do good, evil is always present. He said, there are some things that are toiling at me, that are pulling at me. You are wrestling with your flesh. Come on, somebody. I don't care. If anybody can deny it all they want to, but listen, doubt is wrestling with your flesh. Fear is wrestling with your flesh. You are wrestling with your flesh when God puts an assignment in your mouth and you don't want to do that assignment, or you don't want to say that thing, or you get there and you're just like, I don't want to say that to them. I don't want to talk. You have the mercy in your mouth to save someone's life, because watch this, God would have punished them, but except you arrive on the scene. So here's Ananias. He arrives on the scene. He goes down to the very place that he's supposed to be at. He gets the address. He downloaded it into his spirit. He gets there and all of a sudden he sees Saul, and Saul is now blind. Here you have mercy that steps in the room, but grace needs to be extended. I got to say this. You have mercy that steps in the room, but grace needs to be extended to someone who is unworthy, who doesn't deserve anything that God is saying for him to do. And I'm pretty sure that Ananias has sat around and said, well, God, there's plenty of other people that deserve your grace. There are plenty of other people that deserve your mercy. But I love this. It's his first, St. John 1:16. It says, out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. Titus 2:11 says, for God has revealed his grace for salvation to all people. Come on. He says he has revealed his grace for salvation to all people. Titus was telling us that it is for all people. It is not just for those that we want to give grace to. It is not just for those that we look to see to say, oh yeah, well, they deserve God. Who are we to say that anybody receives that somebody, only one person, two people, or a certain group, or a certain church, or a certain denomination is the one that should receive God's grace? He said, no. Titus says, for God has revealed his grace. He's revealing his grace so that all might have salvation. So we have to understand, and I'm going to read Romans 3:24. It says, but by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ Jesus, who have set them free. God said, I'm trying to set somebody free. If you don't know it or not, let me just say this to you. Saul was in a point to where he was in bondage. Getting ready to go somewhere tonight. He was at a point where he was in bondage with religion. He was in bondage with religion. And when you're in bondage with religion, you're not about a relationship. The Holy Spirit came that it might save and deliver, but the law, the letter killeth. There are some of us who are so much in bondage by self-righteousness. There are so many people that are in bondage by religion that you can't see the relationship that somebody else needs to have. Now, if you know that you have a relationship with Christ. You know that you talk to him on a one-on-one basis. You know that God has extended his grace and his mercy to you. Therefore, you have a relationship with him. You know that you have overcome some things that have been taught by your forefathers, your grandmother, your great-grandmother that have been passed down through the lineage, and that you have overcome that. And you now say that I can now wear sweatpants, because when we were growing up, we had to wear skirts to gym. And when we went to school, we had to wear skirts. We couldn't play cards. We couldn't go to the movies. We couldn't go bowling, because religion had taken hold of the minds and the hearts of those that had raised us, until now God has extended his grace and his mercy to where now we see that we were unworthy, but because of the bloodshed, because he died on the cross, because he rent the veil, and he says, I want everyone to have access to me. Watch this through salvation, through my grace. And so here it is. Ananias was stuck in self-righteousness. Ananias was stuck in the letter of the law. Ananias was stuck in being in a religion instead of being in relationship. And says God was trying to teach him relationship. He was trying to teach him brotherly love, to extend it to those that are even unworthy of the call, that are even unworthy to receive this. God said, I'm trying to extend my grace. So here you have mercy that walks in the room, that has the release in his mouth, and he's getting ready to extend it to someone that needs God's grace. Listen, if you don't get anything else from me today, know that God said that you have the ability in your mouth to speak life over someone, to break the chains off of somebody's life, to be able to break the scales off of somebody's life, that when you open up your mouth and you begin to pray and you begin to declare victory and you begin to tell God, we thank you for this life, for this soul, and when you enter seed. And listen, you don't even have to be in their presence. Your prayers can go where you can't even go. So if you send it through the airways, like we are here on the phone right now, if you send it through the airways, if you send it through the channels of grace and mercy, if you send it through the channels of the Holy Ghost, the Lord will do what he needs to do. All he needs you to do is open up your mouth. There are some of you that has an Ananias assignment upon your life, and God says, I need you to open your mouth and extend mercy to somebody who does not deserve it. So Ananias gets there, and he begins to pray, and he begins to pray, and he begins to pray. And as he's praying, the first thing that happens is that the scales fall off of Saul's eyes. There are some of you who have the ability to pray until someone gets their sight back. There are some of you that have the ability to pray and minister to people till someone gets their sight back, till someone gets the ability to see, get their vision back, get the assignment back in their lives, because there are some people that you have ran into that have lost all assignment. Can I just interject this right here? I was talking to some people on yesterday while we're at resurrection service, and I was saying that I am so very happy that, and I hope that you catch this, I am so very happy that you have some pastors, some apostles, some bishops, and even some evangelists that has literally stepped down, and they have either retired, or they have passed their church on, or they have passed their ministry on to someone else. Because if you don't know, there's something that I taught in our Bible study called greater works. A lot of people get the word greater works, or get that particular scripture mixed up. But the revelation that God gave me on that is that greater works is not necessarily you in the context that I taught it in. It's not necessarily you doing all these miraculous miracles. Oh, Elijah done 7 miracles. Elisha did 14, and all this and that. And you're going to be great. And you're going to do all these wonderful miracles. Literally, when I taught on greater works, I taught on, if you're not training, if you're not teaching, if you're not raising up the next generation, you are not doing greater works. You are, and this is what I taught the lesson on, because Jesus came and he sat down 12 men. He sat down 12 men. He said, you are my disciples. I need to teach you. I need to train you, because I'm leaving. Come on, succession. I'm leaving. I'm literally leaving. I am so very elated and excited to know that there are some some apostles, some bishops, some pastors, some evangelists, some ministers that have said, I have got to do greater works and I've got to train somebody else behind me who will do greater works. Your greater works come when you see somebody else doing the work that God has called you to and assigned you to, and now you have completed your season, you have completed your assignment, and now you pass it on to somebody else. You pass on that grace to somebody else to be able to watch this, to be able to stand in the midst of trials and be able to minister to somebody. If you still are 80 and 90 years old and you still pastoring and you have not trained anybody else, if you still in your 40s, 50s, and you still running the evangelism service all by yourself and you haven't trained anybody else, you are not doing greater works. You are not doing great. This is why we have I'm drifting for a minute, but I'm going to come back. This is why we have people nowadays that don't know nothing about church, that don't know nothing about scripture, that don't know anything about that. It's because we have people that are not doing greater works because they feel like they want all the glory for themselves. The glory of God comes when you train up somebody else. That was Ananias' assignment, was to train up somebody else. Yes, that person might do greater works than what you have done. Yes, that person that you train might do greater miracles than you do. And that's where the Saul spirit comes in with some of the leaders nowadays, is that they don't want to allow somebody to outshine them. You're supposed to outshine me. You're supposed to do greater works than me. You're supposed to do more miracles than I am doing, because that is the grace that is extended to you because you are unworthy. But I have the mercy in my mind to say, God, overlook their sins, overlook their shortcomings, overlook the things that they have going on in their life, overlook that fact, oh God, and still be able to bless them and extend grace to them, God, so that they might be able to go out and reach a generation that I cannot reach. That's what you call greater works. That's what you call something that we're driving and teaching somebody else to do, is that the next generation ought to be doing greater than us. If the world can train up our young people, they are literally training up our young people to do greater works than we are, if I may say it like that, and let me explain it. They're training up our young people to do greater works than we are, because nowadays you have 20-year-olds earning the income that we once earned when we were 40 and 50 years old. We had to struggle in the corporate world just to make that amount of money, but you have the young people that are already doing it, and they have the wisdom and the tenacity, and they have the understanding of things that we didn't even have the understanding of when we were their age, because the world is teaching greater works. They're taking people under their wing, and they're teaching them, and they're training them, and they're pushing them out there. Why is it that the church does not train and teach on greater works to extend that grace or that mercy to somebody else and say, you know what? Now this thing is in your hands. You take it. You push it. You carry it on. Jesus only did ministry for 3 years. I'm going to just say that. I'm going to let that sit in just for a second. Jesus only did ministry for 3 years. He didn't do ministry for 30, 40, 50 years and deny people. He only did ministry for 3 years. Let that sink in just for a second. So Ananias goes over here to his assignment. As Ananias begins to pray, the scales fall off of Saul's eyes. He begins to pray for him. He baptized him, and he watched this. He tried to extend an invitation. Ananias took Saul over to the disciples, and he says, this is the man. He's saved. He's delivered now. God has extended him grace. God has extended him grace. God has extended him grace so that all might be saved. God has extended that to him, and he gets over here. And Saul is now denied by the very disciples that walk with Jesus, where they were supposed to extend grace as well. Can I say this to you? And I'm going to end with this. Please do not get to the point that you are the one. I walked with Jesus all these years. I done prayed and I done did what I was called to do, and I'm the righteous one in this group. I'm the one that you do not, watch this, that you do not accept others that are coming in that need God's grace and his mercy as well at the same time. Do not declare victory. And I know that you're not, but I have to say this. Do not be that group that when somebody new is introduced that has sinned all their life, and you know they sin, you know that they're not worthy, you know that they have done all kinds of stuff. They've cheated on their husbands or wives. They're drunkards. They're probably still on drugs. They're probably Pentecostal prostitutes. Come on, somebody. They got a whole lot going on in their life, and you know it. Can we just watch this? Can we just extend a little bit of grace over their lives and say, I'm going to cover you in prayer? That's what grace and mercy is all about. Knowing that, watch this, God, mercy is knowing that God could punish you for your sins, but I'm going to speak mercy over your lives out of whether I'm declaring it, whether I'm praying it, whether I'm fasting for you. I'm going to extend mercy out of your life, and God is going to watch this, extend the grace that you need to overcome all of the things that you need. Listen, have patience with somebody. There are some people that are waiting on you to have patience with them because they're struggling with some things in their lives. Saul was struggling with the fact that he had been trained and taught all of his life how to kill and how to belittle and how to be sarcastic and take the people and kill them just because they wanted to worship and praise a God that he watches that he needed to know, but that he did not know because he was so busy studying the Word of God that he did not have personal relationship with God. He had religion and he had self-righteousness, but he did not have a personal relationship that would allow him to extend grace and mercy to somebody else. So I pray that this has helped you on this morning. I wanted to talk about just a little more, but I pray that this has helped you on this morning. So I'm going to pass the call over on this morning. God bless you. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day and I promise, Lord God. We thank you that we were able to lay down and rest and awake, for the Lord has sustained us. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that I woke up in my right state of mind with the working of my limbs, Lord God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for traveling mercies, Lord God, and just you kept me in my sleep, Lord God. You've kept us all in our sleep, and I say thank you for that. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you go before us throughout this day, Lord God, and let us extend the same grace and the same mercy that you've extended to us, to others, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I just lift up those that are in authority and leadership positions, Heavenly Father. Lord God, let them operate in the authority that you have blessed them with, Lord God, with faith being fair, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I just thank you for being the God that you are. Lord God, I thank you that you will send somebody to those that are sick and that are shut in, those that are in jails and institutions and hospitals and retirement, Lord God. Send somebody to them just like to bless them so that they can extend grace to them. Heavenly Father, I ask that you continue to let those that are depressed or have anxiety commune with you, Lord God. Your word teaches us to trust in you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you and you'll direct our path. Lord God, we know that that's an attack of the enemy, the depression and anxiety, and we cast it out at the root in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for keeping your hand over our children, Lord God, and for blessing them with health and with beauty, Lord God. You tell us in your word that children are gifts from you. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you continue to equip and enlighten and guide us, Lord God, so that we could raise a child in the way that they should go. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just ask that you give traveling mercies to those that ride on airplanes or those that are using public transportation or getting in an Uber or a Lyft, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God, for we know that nothing is too big or too small for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that you got up, Heavenly Father. I thank you that you did not look like when you came out that grave, the cross didn't look like the grave, Lord God, that scripture was fulfilled, Lord God, and prophecies came to pass. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, for you are good. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you that your mercies are renewed every day. Lord God, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord God, I thank you for those that have prayed over us, Lord God, that we could pray for others, Lord God, and actually just play it forward. Heavenly Father, I lift up pastors, Lord God, and leaders, and those that are feeding your flock, Lord God. Thank you for ordaining them, Heavenly Father. Thank you that for their obedience and answering to their calling. Lord God, speaking of which, I thank you for declare victory. I thank you for Deion Jackson and those that are behind the scenes and those that pray and those that operate in their gifts and just be in obedience, Lord God. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you that there are many members but one body, Lord God. And Heavenly Father, I just thank you for being God by yourself. It's nothing that we do or that we say, Lord God. It's because you first loved us. It's because you walked that path to on Gethsemane, Lord God. Heavenly Father, help us to operate with love and compassion, Lord God, and understanding, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I command strongholds to be removed, any anger, Lord God, or any resentment, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I pray for that person that is a schizophrenic, Lord God, or that needs you, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I just pray over their life, Lord God, and I speak life into them. Lord God, you tell us in your word that if we tell the mountain to be moved and to be cast into the sea, Lord God, we just lay everything at your feet because we know that you are more than able. Lord God, I thank you that there is deliverance and praise, and we praise and thank you in advance for being God, Lord God, for doing the things that if you've never done another nothing, Lord God, we thank you just for being who you are, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the omnipresent God. Lord God, I just thank you that we have new mercies every day. And as we begin to take our phone off of mute and begin to be thankful for the mercies that you have bestowed down upon us, Lord God, we shout with a voice of triumph, saying,
hallelujah,
saying that you love us enough, Lord
hallelujah.
God. Just let the mercy
you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We glorify
God,
and we exalt you, Lord God, because we lift your name on high.
Lord
God, we thank you that we can gather and assemble in your name, Lord God. Oh, glory to your name. Heavenly Father, everything that was poured out into us in reference to grace, Lord God, I ask that you fill Bethany back up, Lord God. Let her cup overflow, Lord
God.
Heavenly Father, and just as we are active throughout this day,
Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Lord.
Heavenly Father,
Lord, lead us. Lead us in the path that you have us to go, God. Show us, Lord God, who we are to extend grace to,
Lord.
Show us how to be more like you, Lord God. Oh, Holy Spirit, come right down to this place, Lord. Saturate us with your love, Lord. Saturate us, Holy Spirit, with your knowledge, Lord.
Jesus.
Give us direction and wisdom. Give us discernment of
the
Spirit, Lord God. Lord, help us be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for his crucifixion and his rising, Lord God. Thank you, God, that he was not left in the tomb, Lord God. That he rose, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you have left an example. You have set a clear example for us to be. To be like, strive toward, Lord God. So we bless your name this morning, Lord God. We thank you for waking us up, Lord God, yet another day. We thank you for the opportunities to praise your name. Oh, God, oh, wretched men that we are, Lord God, wretched women that we are, Lord God. You don't see our wretchedness, Lord God. You see, thank you, Lord God, the Lamb of God. Thank you that the veil was removed, Lord God. Thank you that the veil was removed, Lord God, and we come boldly unto your throne and ask you, Lord God, whatever we ask, your name, Lord God, according to thy will, Lord God. Your word says you will do. Lord God, we are desirous of your spirit, Lord Jesus. We are desirous of your presence in our lives, Lord God. We want to make a difference, Lord God. We want to help the next person to know and have relation with you, God. We bless your name, God. Lord, use us as a vessel of your will, Lord God. Let nothing come between us, Lord God. Help us to recognize you first and always in our lives.
Much.
We bless your name this morning, Lord
your
God. We bless your name this morning.
Lord,
oh, how great thou art. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Thank you for the declaration this morning, Lord God. Thank you for the plans that you have for our lives, Lord God. Help us to know what our gifts and our ministries are, Lord God. Help us to
to do what you would have us to do. Your plans are for us before we leave this earth, before we leave this side, God. Help us, Lord God, because we want you to say, good and well done, my faithful servant, Lord God. So bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for coming into our lives and restoring us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Bless your name, oh God. Bless your name this morning, Lord God.
Great is your mercy, and great is your grace.
Lord God, I'll pray
for
my enemies
this day, Lord God. And thank you that we can lift your name up high.
Leading God, Lord Jesus. Bless us on the highways and byways, God. In the marketplace, in our jobs, in the schools, in the government, Lord God. Lord, get your people, Lord God. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Almighty Savior, we bless your name. Forgive us for our sins, Lord God.
And the reason
forgive
and assemble together in your name.
Lord God. Forgive us for our things that we do that are not necessarily sinful, but not necessarily wise. Oh, God, do a new thing in
thank
us today.
Hallelujah.
All these things I pray in the matchless and mighty and magnificent name of my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ, the only one.
Lord
you
God,
are the only one. None is greater, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord God, we thank you that we can worship and praise you unashamed, as in Romans 1:16, because we are not ashamed of the gospel. Lord God, I thank you that we can praise and worship you without being persecuted. Lord God, we just worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you that there's liberty in you, Lord God. We thank you that there is none like you.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just glorify your name and say, Abba, Father, and grateful that we can call unto you.
Thank you,
Lord God, we thank you that we can assemble together. We give you all the honor, Lord God, and all the praise. And that's in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. As I pray and say amen and pass the call.
Amen. I don't know if anybody had any questions or comments this morning in regards to the lesson this morning. If you do, this will be the time to ask for any questions or comments.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. This is Kedra. So when you said you have to pray, good morning. When you said you have to pray until somebody can see and their eyes are open, that helped me remember that people pray for me. You know what I mean? And so sometimes I get weary. You're not supposed to get weary and doing good, but I get frustrated at the fact that it's like, now I didn't pray for this. You know, but then the Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing, regardless how tired I get or whatever it is, because it's God's timing, not ours. But that stood out to me. That just helped me to be mindful that you just keep on praying regardless of the fact if it don't look like it, you know what I mean, or if it ain't what you expected, because, you know, God is in full control. So I thank God for you that because of what he put in you, you're able to share it with us. And I got something from that.
Amen. I'm so glad. You know, one of the things that I love to bring out, especially when it comes to those that are in ministry, and when I say in ministry, you don't necessarily have to just be a pastor, a bishop, apostle, evangelist to be in ministry. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. So anytime God has allowed you to, you know, pray for others and to minister to others and, you know, or even lay hands on someone else, to encourage somebody, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, we all get tired. And one of the things that I bring out is that Jesus, when he saw the multitude of people coming, let me see if I can find the scripture for you really quickly. When he saw the multitude of the people coming, he literally said, I got to go to the mountains. He said, I got to get away. And not a lot of people look at that and see that, is that even when his cousin John the Baptist was beheaded, he had to go into the mountains and he had to get away, because sometimes life will throw you some things. And it doesn't matter who you are, what your title is, how long you've been in ministry. We get tired, period. We get tired. And it's just what it is. And so I'm grateful that was able to help you. But we have to, you know, and that's why the Bible says, pray for your pastor. You know, that's why you hear people rather say, you know, pray for your pastor, pray for your bishop, pray for those that are in ministry, pray for those that are going forward. Because even this call, just you all just being on the call, praying with one another, and just sometimes you just don't know. Get on a call saying good morning to somebody can change somebody's whole life. Just to know that somebody is kind and somebody is nice and somebody understands that there's something else. So we all go through those times. And even Jesus went through those times where he was just tired and he had to get away and he had to be secluded. So there are times where we will have that. But I'm so grateful for calls like this and for people like, you know, Sister Dion, Minister Dion, that will pray us through and that will pull us through. And all of you that are on the call that will pull someone else through, even though you might not know their names, their situation, you might never even met them. But the fact that God told you, and that was the thing, and that, sorry, I feel like teaching all over again, but let me stop. That was the thing, is that Ananias had never met Saul. He had never met him. So God told him to go and pray for someone that he had never met. There are times in your life where God will drop a vision of someone's face in your spirit that you have to pray for. He'll drop a name in your spirit that he wants you to pray for. And when you're in tune with God like that, he says, I've given you the mercy in your mouth to go and pray for somebody else so that they might be able to come through. And this is one of the points that I meant to say also. Had Ananias not completed his assignment, we wouldn't have the greater part of the New Testament, because Paul wrote it. So you have to understand, a lot of times the things that God asks you to do, it might seem crazy and off the wall. It might seem like, God, I ain't going to do that. I'm not ministering to that person on BART. I'm not talking to that person. I don't even know them, God. But had Ananias, just let that sink in. Had Ananias said, no, I'm not doing it, we wouldn't have most of the New Testament. Paul was one of the greatest writers of our time. He has given us some of the greatest books of the Bible. And so we have to just look at it like that. So we all get to that point. Amen. I'm sorry. I feel like teaching all over again, but let me stop. Any other questions or comments? Amen. Well, I pray that it helped you on this morning. I pray that you were encouraged on this morning by the word of God. I pray that it sinks in, and that God will really do something amazing in your life and bless you on today. Because a lot of times, again, God is allowing us to do some things that we've never done before. He's allowing us to step out of our comfort zone and to be able to minister to people that at one time we might have been afraid of, or at one time we might have said, no, God, they'll never be delivered. They'll never come out. Listen, let me tell you something. If nobody else says it to you, if God ever tells you to minister to somebody and you feel like they've never come out, listen, please minister to them. I'm still waiting on someone to minister to my brother, to my sister. I have several of them out there, and they're on drugs. They out there and on alcohol, everything. And that might be my sister. That might be my brother. And so somebody else is waiting for you to minister to somebody that we can't minister to because we're family, or because we're friends, because we're best friends, or because we just don't have that relationship or something like that. Somebody's waiting on you to minister to their husband, to their wife, to their, you know, to their cousin, their niece, their nephew. Someone's waiting on you to minister to them. So just like Ananias, take up the assignment. Take up your cross and bear it and go and minister to that person, even whether it's you being called to the convalescent homes, to the hospitals, to the cancer center, to the whatever it is, the dialysis center, and you walk in there. You never know what you might minister to somebody that might help somebody. Please do not deny what God is saying, even when everybody else says it's crazy and stupid. Had Ananias told somebody that he was going over to minister to Saul because God put that in his spirit, people would have probably talked him out of that. Don't let anybody talk you out of your assignment, and don't let your flesh talk you out of your assignment. Anytime you don't want to go, that's most of the time that you're supposed to go. I tell people all the time, and I tell my church, so this is no secret. I said, sometimes I don't want to show up on Sunday. I don't want to be here. I don't want to show up on Sundays. I don't want to preach. I don't want to teach. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do it. And that's the time where the service is the greatest of all times.
But there are times where you don't want to do it. And that's you just wrestling against your flesh about, you know, you not wanting to do it. Or that's just, sometimes it could be that you're afraid of the assignment. Some assignments are so great that you're afraid of them. I know for me, I'm afraid of some assignments. I'm like, Lord, I'm not even worthy. I don't even know what to say. I'm not educated enough. I don't have this enough. God, I should have prayed another hour. I should have prayed another 24 hours. I should have fasted more. He said, but my grace is sufficient. He says, I've already called you. I've already laid the foundation in this world for you. It has already been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but your assignment has already been written down in history. So listen, don't give up on your assignment. Don't change the trajectory or don't change the pathway of somebody else's life because you are afraid to go. Go, even if you are afraid, and do it while you're afraid and let God do the rest of it for you. So I pray that this has helped you all this morning.
Pastor Bessie.
Yes.
This is Dee Dee. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was trying to, I thought I was off mute. I was just talking after Kendra. But you blessed me, sis, this morning, and thank you for your teaching. You hit on so much. The Pentecostal, what'd you say? Pentecostal, I don't even remember. But your point.
I said Pentecostal prostitutes, honey.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. Because sometimes, and I know my assignments probably confuse a lot of people because, you know, I am who I am. And so listening to you gave me even that more confidence to know that when you feel that it's like a butterfly, like, you know, you're getting the mm-hmm. word to say go and love or go minister to that person, and the enemy is trying to tell you not to or whatever because of fear of failure or fear of being rejected or fear of them saying, how you gonna give me a word? You know what I mean? It's kind of like I get all that you said was so important for us not to forget that some people we may have prayed for or witnessed to or whatever, and it may not look like their lives are changing, whether it's drugs, whatever
yep.
the addiction is, but that's not for us, because just like you said, somebody prayed for us, somebody spoke a word into us, and we still have areas. I know I do. I have a lot of areas, so I appreciate you for reminding us, those cousins, those brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, whatever, that still are struggling in areas, we all fall short. But our stuff may not look like, you know, my sin not necessarily going to look like yours, but a lot of it is not visible, or we don't
yes.
think it is. It's visible to God because he sees everything. So I appreciate mm-hmm. you for that reminder. Don't let go of that assignment. And if you're not, oh, I love when you said, if you're not a little nervous before you speak or whatever, then you need to sit down, because that's not even confidence. That's more of a prideful thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I so appreciate you. And again, that prayer, continue to pray for that one who looks like they're not changing, because see, we only see the outer. God knows what's going on the inside. And I just needed to hear that. So thank you for that, because it's so many of my young people. I have so many, I only literally birthed 3 children, but I probably have 30. They call me mama or auntie or whatever. But they're struggling with stuff because they're struggling because of what it looks like to the natural eye. You know what I mean? So we have to be that. We have to be the example. You know, the
right.
millennials, they're looking for something. They're watching. And if we're giving up because they still smoking weed or drinking or partying or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
you know, folks clean themselves up to go to church. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, it's not the natural eye. I hope I'm making sense. So I
yeah.
just appreciate your word this morning, and I know it's a lot of people on the line that got something out of it because it was rich. So thank you, sis.
Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome. That was good. Anybody else?
Yes. Good morning. This is Julia. I just want to piggyback off of what Dee Dee was saying. I don't particularly took away from it that there is no gift that's, you know, that's insignificant, that every day is a day of preparation, and that we should be ready in season, out of season to, you know, to do our assignment. You know,
mm-hmm.
yes, you know, when Paul was talking about can the arm do or the hand do what the ear do what the mouth can
yeah.
do? Every component. Whether you think it's what you're doing, it's, maybe your job is to show up at work every day and it's that one person, you know,
yeah.
that you need in preparation to minister to and be
mm-hmm.
in a mental state of obedience to do what God is calling, because you don't know what that person, you know, like I'm pretty sure the person that spoke into Martin Luther King's life You know, you think about like that. You know, all these powerful people that have passed on. There was that one person that was ministering to them. You know, propelling to move forward. So, just thank you for your message this morning. Like Didi said, a lot. A lot of stuff to like just marinate on. I would truly appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. You're so welcome. But it is, you know, and like you said, even Martin Luther King, you know, whoever it was, you know, you have that one Ananias that speaks into someone's life. So Ananias's assignment with whoever you are, your assignment is just as great because you're the one that pulled them through, if not greater. Your assignment is great, if not greater, because you're the one that pulled them through. And so they're the front line soldiers, but you know the people that really matter are those that are back. They're not on the front line. Those that are behind at the hospitals that are repairing people. And I don't think a lot of people really see that, because those are the people that don't get any shout outs. They don't get their names called or anything like that. It's the ones that are like you all in the 6 a.m. prayer call, 5 a.m. prayer call that are praying. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, he said, then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. It's not until people pray that he will hear from heaven and heal the land. He's healing people that didn't even pray because there was a group of people that prayed. So it's a lot of times it's not the people that are on the front line. It's not those that are on the front line. I heard a message from one of the great evangelists. I forget his name, but he said someone came up to him and told him, you have a great message. How did you do so much deliverance? Why was there so much, you know, power of God in here? And he started talking to him. He says, walk with me. He says, you know, the assignment that I have on my life is not by coincidence. And he says, it's not of me on my own. And he took him to the downstairs room that was at the church. And he opened up the door and he had 25 to 30 people down there praying while service was going on. That's what I'm like, Lord, I need that back again. Where you have people that, because you nowadays you have people that want to just be in service, don't nobody want to go back and pray and lay out all night. He said, I have these people that are praying for me throughout the duration of service. They didn't want to be in service. They probably did, but they weren't in service, but they were praying throughout the service so that service might go well, so that deliverance might take place. So a lot of times it is the people that are on the backside, that are on the back burner, that are in the background, that are literally pushing those that are on the front line out. I know with my people, I do. I have a team of people that when I travel internationally, when I go on ministry assignments, whatever it is, that they're praying for me, and I need their prayers. I need their prayers. So, yes, I'm so excited about that. Your assignment is great. Your assignment is great. Amen. Anybody else this morning before I turn everything over?
I just want to say one more thing. This is Juliet again. I learned about what you were saying is that we definitely need to be content. Learn to be content in whatsoever state we find ourselves in. Because when we lack the contentment, we're always looking, you know, ahead or looking for this great thing. And then the great thing can be right in front of you, miss it, you know, because you're so busy, you're uncontent. So that's what another thing I got out of your message.
Wow. Awesome. That is so very grateful. I'm so very grateful that you all allowed me to be on the call on today, and that you all got something out of it. I love to teach. If you don't know, it's one of my gifts. I love to teach. I would rather teach than preach, but it's one of the greatest gifts. And they said that the teacher, preacher ought to be apt to teach. But it's one of the greatest gifts, because what happens is that in the midst of you talking about the word of God, you give revelation and you have fresh manner and rhema word that falls from heaven and is downloaded into you, then it's downloaded into others. And it brings up things like the young lady said, it brings up reminders of what God has told you to do. And it opens up your hearts, and it gives you that push that the Lord says, that's what I told you to do. Here's some encouragement. Here's this again. And so I'm so very grateful for that. So again, thank you all for allowing me to come on to teach on this morning. And I pray that you all have a wonderful, awesome, awesome Monday. And so I'm going to pass the call over.
Utah. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I don't speak to the same thing, but... Huh?
Is the phone?
I don't speak to the same thing, but I'm going, hello? Right! Like, what happened? I think she hung up.
I didn't know if it was going to take over for prayer or we were going to close out, but I believe...
Miss Bessie, usually the person that did the decoration prays us out, and that ends the call.
Oh, well, let me pray out. I love to pray. Well, let me pray us out then. Let me pray us out. Please forgive me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you on today. We bless your name. We glorify you. We magnify you because you are good and you are worthy of all the praise. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, oh God. We thank you for this Monday after resurrection service, oh God, that you have blessed us and that you have kept us, oh God. We thank you for all that you have done, God. We thank you for the word on this morning. We thank you for your fresh manner. We thank you, oh God, that you are reminding us of our assignment, oh God. We thank you that in the midst of every trial that we're going through, you have a great assignment for us, oh God. So God, today as we go along on our way, oh God, this morning, God, we ask you to extend some grace and some mercy unto us, oh God, because we are not worthy of the call. We are not worthy of your grace. We are not worthy of your mercy. We are not worthy of you even speaking unto us, oh God, but we thank you, oh God, that some time ago, some years ago, some 2,000 years ago, you died on the cross that we might have life, oh God. You suffered pain that we might have life. You suffered that we might have your grace and your mercy, God. So today we lift up our hands and we say thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for opening up our eyes. Thank you for breath in our lungs, oh God. Thank you for the activities of our limbs, oh God. Thank you that we didn't give up in the midst of trials and tribulations. Thank you that we didn't give up in the midst of our hurt and our pain, oh God. Father, we just want to lift our hands and say thank you on this morning, oh God, for the assignment and for the call upon our lives. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, oh God. Thank you for loving us beyond our sins. Thank you for loving us beyond our faults, oh God. So we thank you on this morning. Hallelujah. We cannot say it enough, oh God, that you are you are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of all the glory. You are worthy of all the honor, oh God. So God, bless us on today, oh God. Keep us on today, oh God. Watch over us on today, oh God. Download a fresh word in us, oh God. Download a fresh assignment in us, oh God. Help us to be the Ananias in this time, in this season, oh God, that we might pull out some saws out of the gutters, oh God, that we might pull out some saws out of the crack houses, that we might pull out some saws out of alcoholism, oh God, that we might pull out some saws that are even sitting in the sanctuary, that's sitting in the church, oh God, and they are going through so many trials and tribulations, oh God. God, we just thank you for our assignment, although we're nervous and we don't know how we're going to complete it, oh God, but we rest in you, oh God. We rest in your glory. We rest in your grace. We rest in your mercy, oh God, that you are going to keep us, oh God, and that you are going to show us the way, oh God. So today, God, we are grateful unto you, oh God. We are grateful unto you, oh God, for the assignment. We are grateful that you didn't give up on us. We are grateful that you sent someone to minister unto us. We are grateful for the call. We are grateful that for the love. We are grateful, oh God, that you have extended it unto us, oh God. So God, we thank you on this day. Hallelujah. We thank you for your traveling mercy. We thank you for those that are going to work, that are at home, oh God, that are running around during the day, oh God, with assignments, oh God, that you begin to drop nuggets into our spirit, that you begin to drop something in us, oh God. So God, we yell from the mountaintop, thank you. We yell from the office, thank you. We yell from our homes, thank you, oh God, for your grace and for your mercy. So God, today we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you and we say that there is none like you in all the earth, oh God. There is none like you in all the earth, and we just want to bless you. We just want to glorify you. So God, keep us as we go on our way. Bless us as we continue our day, oh God. Bless each and every man upon this call. Bless them as husbands, as fathers, as brothers, oh God. Bless them in the name of Jesus, that you will extend mercy and grace unto them, oh God, because they face so many hard trials, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the assignment on their lives. We thank you that they are the head, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that they're blessing us, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that they're protecting us and covering us, oh God. So God, give them a blessing in in a mighty special way on today, oh God. Bless every woman on this call, oh God, that you bless her life, that you bless the work of her hands, oh God, that whatever she's doing, God, that you will call her blessed, oh God, that her children will call her blessed, that her loved ones will call her blessed, oh God. Bless her, oh God. Hallelujah. God, even those that are on this call that might be dealing with ailment and sickness, oh God, we thank you, oh God, that you are the healer, oh God. You are our provider and our protector, oh God. But most of all, you said that if you call for the elders, oh God, so I pray even over their lives, oh God, that now that you extend grace to heal them in the name of Jesus, oh God, we bind backaches, oh God, we bind headaches and Crohn's disease, oh God, we come against high blood pressure and sugar diabetes, oh God, cancer, hallelujah, we send it back to the pits of hell, oh God, hallelujah. I pray for those who have swollen ankles and swollen knees, oh God, hallelujah, that you will begin to take the swelling down, oh God, for those that are going into surgery, oh God, hallelujah, that you will guide the hands of the surgeon, oh God, for those that are going for checkups, oh God, hallelujah, that they will get a great deal of health, oh God. Father, we thank you and we commend ourselves unto you, oh God, and we are the Messiah, and we say have your way in our lives, oh God. So God, we thank you and we praise you. It is in this that we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You guys have a wonderful, awesome and exciting Monday, and tell somebody that Jesus loves them and that he cares for them in every aspect of their lives. So bless you guys and thank you for allowing me to be on the call on this morning. God bless you all.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thank you.
Bless. Have a wonderful day.
Bless you. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Have a good day.
Hey, yeah.
Have a good day. Bye, sister. Go ahead and go to work. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you too.